This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
No new factory, but Ford's still moving production to Mexico. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Ford has canceled a plan for a new $1.6 billion factory in Mexico. That announcement came after criticism from President-elect Trump over the company's plans to start manufacturing the Ford Focus south of the border. And now Ford says it will invest some of that money into 700 new jobs in Michigan. But there is a but, and Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here to talk through it. Lewis, what is the but? What is Ford moving, and what is Ford not moving?
So the big thing is that Ford is still moving manufacturing of the Focus to Mexico. It's just no longer building a whole new plant for it. And the reason for that is largely about a market shift, because demand for smaller cars is down in the U.S., trucks and SUVs back up. So these new jobs that Ford is adding in Michigan are more about that. They'll be building electric SUVs. And all this doesn't seem to have been a decision made in consultation with Trump in any way.
Well, we do know the president-elect has been very vocal about this exact issue. I mean, yesterday, just before this announcement, Trump was tweeting about General Motors, pressuring that company to make more cars in the U.S. instead of Mexico, or, quote, pay big border tax.
Right. So Ford CEO Mark Fields did some interviews yesterday and said that this was just a business decision, but that Trump's policies were a consideration. He didn't say this part, but maybe that big border tax threat feels threatening. And he also praised Trump as pro-growth. Finally, it seems like no company really wants to be in the crosshairs of a bunch of negative Trump attention.
Yeah. So in that way, the bully pulpit effect is real.
Yeah. And so is the positive feedback loop that can happen for a company that seems to be going along with his demands to keep jobs in the U.S.
All right. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you.
Thanks.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is about level after record gains yesterday. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.1% range, with the Dow future up 19 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.46%. Puerto Rico has a new governor. He took office on Monday and immediately talked about statehood as the way Puerto Rico can get out of its debt crisis. Statehood would allow the island to declare bankruptcy, for example. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on Governor Ricardo Rosselló's plan for Puerto Rico.
The new governor said he'll cut 10 to 20% of government spending on the island and said he'll encourage more public-private partnerships there. Charles Venator Santiago is an associate professor at the University of Connecticut.
Where are the cuts going to happen? Where are these 10% cuts going to be located? Is it going to be in schools, hospitals, highways?
More than half of the Puerto Rican population lives in poverty. Some schools and hospitals have already limited hours because they can't afford to stay open. Governor Rosselló says there's no way to overcome Puerto Rico's $70 billion public debt and $40 billion retirement deficit as a colony of the United States. Richard Pildes teaches constitutional law at NYU. He says it's easier to sell statehood on the island than in Washington.
Whether the United States Congress would be any more interested in admitting Puerto Rico as a state now than at previous points in American history is certainly far from certain.
We also don't know President-elect Trump's opinion on Puerto Rico as the 51st state. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
President-elect Trump has promised to bring back manufacturing jobs. Truth is, some manufacturing jobs are already coming back, and manufacturing output is almost back to the pre-recession peak. But many folks laid off in recent years, including steelworkers in Southwest Illinois, are finding out they don't have the qualifications for those new jobs. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Martin Oliver was a machinist at the steel mill in Granite City, Illinois, for 22 years. Then, last year, he was laid off, just a couple of days before Christmas. He spent months looking for another job.
I'm older, I'm 61, and you think people want experience, but they don't.
So, he went back to school.
We're going to minimize machine movement if possible. I want to ask about that.
And now he's learning how to program the very machines that were developed to replace him.
What used to take me 5 hours to do, they can do in about 15 minutes now.
University of Illinois economics professor Lawrence Officer says many steel workers, like Oliver, are what's known as structurally unemployed.
Their industries, their firms have shrunk or vanished, and their skills remain, but they're not easily transferable to other sectors where there's a demand for labor.
The state of Illinois and the Steelworkers Union have programs to help those workers bridge that skills gap, like the one Oliver is in at Southwestern Illinois College in Granite City. Mark Bosworth heads the Industrial Technology School there. He says not everyone wants the same thing from the training. It depends on how long you've been a steelworker.
It seems like if you're within 10 years of retirement, they're really focusing and hoping that U.S. Steel opens back up. But if you're just started to have like 5 or 7 years at U.S. Steel, some of the students say, I don't want to go back.
So they're looking for skills they can take with them. That's where Mark Finch is now. He thought a job at the steel mill would provide stable income close to home. But he was laid off after just 10 months, and he doesn't expect things to change.
Since I've been laid off, it seems like every couple months it's going to open back up, it's going to open back up. And it never has, so I'm not going to keep my hopes up on it.
At Southwestern Illinois College, students practice setting the machines to carve complicated shapes, like a Christmas tree ornament, a little steel snowman with a little steel hat, and indentations for eyes, nose, smile, and buttons. Martin Oliver sees the humor in putting decades of steelworking experience into Christmas ornaments, and he also recognizes his old job is probably gone.
It's not coming back the way I know it. That's just a fact. So that's what I have to wrap my head around, is how to adapt to what's out there.
And what's out there requires him to get back to class. In Granite City, Illinois, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.